producing the same to feed a hungry world and to clothe with food and fiber, but we will be doing it with less water.
This is The Agriculturist, the official podcast of the student-created magazine in the Texas Tech University Department of Agricultural Education and Communications. In each episode, we hear from the students as they expand on the stories you'll see in the printed and online magazine from the school we love so dearly.
Hello and welcome. My name is Sierra Bingham, and I'm from Meta, Texas.
My name is Marshall Gillett, and I'm from Holiday, Texas.
My name is Molly Jacobs, and I'm from Montgomery, Texas.
And my name is Molly Johnson, and I'm from Nazareth, Texas.
Today we're going to be addressing water management from the perspective of college students. Our story for The Agriculturist, Down to the Last Drop, covers the past and the future of water management on the High Plains. With this being such an important topic, we really dug into the research thoroughly to ensure we got the perspective of everything involved. One of the things I really enjoyed about this subject is how we all come from different regions of Texas with different experiences when it comes to water.
So in my experience, I grew up on a farm in Meta, Texas, which is just about an hour and a half south of Amarillo, Texas, and up in West Texas on the High Plains. I grew up on a farm where my father grew cotton and peanuts, sorghum, and all sorts of things like that. And it wasn't until about the early 2000s when my father really became really conscious of water use and the lower pressure that he was seeing in his irrigation. And so from that point on, his amount of water really changed what he grew and how he grew it.
So coming from Holiday, I live about 2.5 hours east of Lubbock. And my family grew up in the ranching industry. We have a cow-calf operation and a stocker-calf operation. And we do, about the only farming we do is we grow wheat and hay for the future just to provide for the cattle we have. So for us, water management was always how much rainfall we could get to fill tanks and to grow wheat for the year. The only irrigation we really use is flood irrigation from lakes around to grow coastal hay. But that's pretty not as managed and restricted as other irrigation is out here in West Texas. So my history with water was just kind of waiting for the rain. It wasn't all that you can get it from somewhere or buy water from people. It was just having to wait and see what God gave you for the year.
See, so coming from Montgomery, Texas, which if y'all don't know, that is pretty much halfway between College Station and Conroe. So we had plenty of water. I mean, I practically grew up in the swamp. So we have a cow-calf operation up there, and we farm hay. But we have two pivots. So we actually have two irrigated pastures that we use. And I wouldn't say that we weren't ever worried about our water. I definitely feel like our family was still pretty conscious of how we used our water, just from an expense point. But I think we were more concerned about how we used, like when we used it. So, you know, we would typically water pretty heavy right after we fertilize. And then again, like everyone else does, right after we plant. But the majority of our water is used for our cattle operations. And I think, I mean, it's kind of pretty self-explanatory when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and so I grew up in Nazareth, Texas, which is like right in between Amarillo and Lubbock. And we don't really do very much farming or anything. We have a few acres in Nazareth, but most of my family's operations are in Hereford. My dad's side of the family owns a feed yard there, and my mom's side of the family are big farmers around the area. And water is pretty scarce, and so I think a lot of the times, like at our feed yard, we're just hoping that the well is going to keep pumping because, I mean, water is becoming very scarce around that area, and it's kind of scary, but we just have to rely on what God's going to give us and just keep putting in, like, different practices to conserve our water more. And my mom works at the Farm Service Agency in Castro County for the USDA, and so she's always coming up with, or like seeing what the other farmers are like implementing and trying to make us use the water go further, like make it go further.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just really cool getting to do this with y'all because we got to see a lot of different perspectives, and I really loved getting to know all of our interviewees for our project.
So during our project, we spoke to researchers and producers alike, learning more about the issues, modern technologies, and the future of water on the High Plains.
Right. So in our research for this story, we found a few things that struck us as being noteworthy, and we want to share these with our listeners today.
Most of us know that rain, especially in the High Plains, isn't overly abundant. Since 2022, this region has experienced drought resembling 2011. We found research from the United States Drought Monitor, which is an online database that allows producers to pinpoint data to specific counties.
See, I knew that Lubbock was pretty dry this year, but I was absolutely blown away by the numbers that we found. It showed that this March was the third driest on the record in over the past 129 years, and 2023 so far is the 23rd driest year to date. Within Lubbock County specifically, 50.4% is considered severe drought, and the other 49.6% is an extreme drought.
Now, we won't bore you with the exact numbers we found from the Drought Monitor and commodity reports, but in Lubbock County, 94% of planted cotton acres is in drought, 67% of sorghum, 29% of corn acres, and 15% of cattle land is in drought. That is taking into consideration feedlot and dairies in the county. And sadly, the drought is predicted to stay the same this year.
Okay, moving on to a happier subject. We had the opportunity to chat with Lloyd Arthur, a producer in Rawls, Texas, that uses some pretty high-tech equipment and software that helps his operation manage his water usage.
Yeah, he also was comparing how he used his water in 2022 from back in 2011. In that decade between, he has implemented a few really cool pieces of technology that have significantly improved his water usage and efficiency in 2022. One, allowing him to analyze root depth and soil moisture percentages. He is able to see how the plant no longer responds to water. The other piece of equipment is a combination of hardware and software called FieldNet that gives Lloyd full control of his pivot remotely, even from his mobile phone. He can fine-tune the amount of the water, where he waters, and when he waters. This is super helpful if there is a turn row or low point in the field that will not use the water as efficiently as the rest of the circle. Lloyd said this has been one of the most life-changing pieces of technology that he has implemented thus far.
You know, similar to that, Brandon Patchke, a producer out in Acuff, Texas, he uses equipment and research to ensure that he is as efficient as possible in his water use.
You know, that's probably why he was elected to represent Place 1 within the Water District.
You know, I never quite understood what exactly is that, what that was.
So, in November, Brandon ran to be the representative for the High Plains Underground Water District in Precinct 1. All that to say, he basically is in charge of keeping the water rights within the hands of the people in Lubbock, Linn, and Crosby counties. He helps with making sure people in the area are not misusing their water.
That just reminded me, in his interview, he emphasized the importance of being stewards of the land and taking care of what God gives us. He said that he believes if we take care of what the Lord gives us, then the Lord will continue to provide, whether that be timely rains or other daily needs of a farmer.
Yeah, he did harp on that quite a bit. When I asked him if he was worried about not having enough water for his kids to come back and farm, he wasn't worried at all. He did not view the water shortage as an issue, more of a problem that we, as agriculturists, must work around and find solutions for.
Even with all of the irrigation technology and practices, you cannot substitute rainwater. That was pretty clear in 2011 with the record low rainfall.
Exactly. Crop production saw a direct impact that year because of the lack of rainfall. Producers really learned for the first time that it didn't matter how much they irrigated. You can't make a crop without rain. It had to have been an eye-opening year for producers throughout the area.
Lloyd mentioned that during his interview, he said that in 2011, that taught farmers a lot. That year, they thought they had it all together and were going to have a good crop, but boy, was he wrong. Mother Nature came and they realized they didn't have anything, and they learned the importance of a timely rain.
What do you mean by a timely rain?
Well, when we were talking with Brandon, he emphasized the importance of rainfall at specific times during the seasons. He said in his operation he has seen that you cannot have a successful crop specifically off irrigation. You have to have rainfall.
And I remember him saying that the most important rain comes right before you plant your crop, And, of course, you want some rain to come after you plant as well.
Another time he said rainfall is extremely important is he said in August. He said historically, if August does not have a good rain, then it will be a rough year to come.
Hey, does anybody remember what specifically he said about those years that we don't get enough rain in August? Diving even deeper into that question, does the drought worry him when it comes to passing on the farm or the family farm to his kids and the next generation?
Actually, Brandon didn't see it as a concern at all. He believes that if he raises his kids right and keeps them motivated, they will go off and be the best that they can. He cannot force them to come back and run the family operation. He just hopes that he has seen the value in the industry and will develop a passion as strong as him to come back.
Comparable to that interview, Lloyd also said that you have to have the passion to push through the hard years. Farming is not all fun and games. The romance fades away, and when the rain stops coming, the crops start failing, and dust starts blowing.
Yeah, and the bank starts calling.
You know, something really cool, like on another note, that both of these guys talked about is having, leaning on their faith during the hard times.
Yeah, I remember how calm Brandon came across when we were discussing this. He was very trusting that the rains will come and that God will provide for us.
Well, at the end of the day, that's all we can really do anyways.
And while we're sitting here and waiting for it, we just need to pray for rain. We'd like to thank everyone for listening today.
The Agriculturist Podcast was completely produced by students enrolled in the Agricultural Communications Block at Texas Tech University. The Block is a capstone experience where students enroll in four courses to produce the magazine and a campaign plan. To learn more about our program, go to depts.ttu.edu/aged. The Agriculturist is available online at ttuagriculturist.com and is available on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.